Good morning and Merry Christmas from Michael Patrick Shields. Christmas means different things to different people, and nobody ought to be alone on Christmas. That song from the film Home Alone. And State Senator Ken Horn lives in a place where Christmas is celebrated all year round at Bronner's Christmas Wonderland. He's from Frankenmuth, the outgoing state senator who has served his state well for a long, long time. And he's on our AT&T line right now, having been term limited out. And first of all, the guy who has always had a great big spirit, a great big heart, very reasonable fellow, works on both sides of the aisle, has jumped into freezing cold water on the Capitol lawn to raise money and lederhosen, a beloved fellow by all accounts. And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and tell you how much of my esteem you have, sir.
Thank you so much, Michael Patrick. It's always been a great working with you and your team. You make a difference here in Lansing as well, and talking to all the people that you do and pulling out the best in them as you have conversations. And it makes it really interesting to listen to, but it also gives us some really deep insights into what's really happening in our state.
Nobody has deeper insights than you do, unfortunately, because of what happened to you and your family while you were a state senator. Is Christmas difficult for you and your family in a certain kind of way?
It still is, but we view Christmas differently after we lost our little Zelly, my granddaughter. She was 2 years old, and Christmas was different afterwards. You know, that the year before, she played little baby Jesus in our living nativity, and she was the most perfect Jesus. She was a great actress. She never forgot her lines. Yeah, she was 4 months old. People in the back of the church, not one person made the mistake that Jesus wasn't in the room. Yes, we look at it differently now. We look at it Christmas as a time of great spiritual awareness, of the reason for the season, and I think it's really important for all of the people of Frankenmuth.
What you have done is very courageous. In addition to writing the book, which is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and anywhere anybody wants to get it, it's called Letters to Heaven, The Story of a Grandfather's Love, Loss, and Rediscovered Faith. The last part is especially interesting because when something like that can happen to a precious 2-year-old, it would be very difficult to have faith. And somehow you managed to do it, and you have turned that into a beacon for others who are suffering from grief, not only with the book, but you've been making appearances at Rotary clubs and special events like you did at St. Lorenz Stevens. What is that like, and what do you hear from people?
We did earlier this week. We did we had the Stevens Ministry at St. Lorenz ask me to talk about the book. They opened it up to the public. I think there was some 150 people there in the audience, and I went through the story and the letters. That was the biggest part. And what I really discovered as I was talking about the letters, there was a grief letter, 15 letters to heaven was the collection, and the first one was directly to God. The rest were to Zelly. There was a grief letter, then there was one that took a leap towards faith, then there was another grief letter, and then there was another one that took me a little closer to faith. And it was just an interesting journey that a lot of people connected to. I had so many tears and hugs afterwards after that show, and I really felt like the book meant something to a lot of people. They said so because it opened them up. Because people, when they hold in their grief, it is destructive, Michael Patrick. It just eats them up alive. They need to talk about the people that they love. and they don't know how to do it necessarily. So it seems like the book gives them permission. And when they talk about their loved ones, they have a little smile on their face. And it reminds me of me when I was talking about Zelle early on. And I remember coming into the Senate the very first time after losing her. So it was just very raw. And Mike Shirky, our Senate Majority Leader, gathered our freshman Republicans, the eight that I came in with. And we met in my office. We prayed. We cried. We walked into the Senate chamber. And I had Democrats. I had, you know, coming over, Jim Ananick and Curtis Sertel and Mo Hood at the time. And they never said a word, Michael Patrick. They just came over and gave me this big bear hug, and then they walked away. But sometimes words aren't necessary. And so it was just the community healing itself. They were helping me, and then the book, I hope, helps them.
When I look at baby Jesus now in the Nativity, I'm going to think of Zelle every time, forever now. And I wondered, you've written the letters to her, and you've published them in the book, Letters to Heaven, The Story of a Grandfather's Love, Loss, and Rediscovered Faith, and you've written to God in the book also. Do you ever hear back in any way, shape, or form from Zelle?
We do, and I talk about the two miracles that I was witness to. And they weren't from Zelle; they were directly from God, and then I talk about the people I met along the way, and because of the people I met along the way, I have a little surprise ending at the end of the book, and there's a letter from heaven, and it's somebody I met here in Lansing, a very dear friend, and he lost somebody at 2 years old to his daughter, and Rabbi Eli Melech Goldberg. And he created Kids Kicking Cancer and Hero Circle. So he was in my office several times, and he read my manuscript. And all of a sudden, my wife and I were in the back in the backyard and got an email from him. And we read his letter, and I had to rewrite the manuscript at the very last moment before I submitted to the publisher. And that's the way it ended. But the book ends, you know, with a sentence, heaven is real, it's really real. But now that your listeners know the ending, I hope they still pick up the book and read it.
Is this your new mission now that you're leaving the state legislature?
No, it'll be part of it, Michael mm-hmm. Patrick. I see myself traveling from church to church or wherever they ask me. I won't deny anybody, you know, a conversation if they need it. But what I'm going to look for, honestly, is the ability to continue my work, growing Michigan by a million people, Project 1MP. It's just so important to the state. I can't let this momentum die that we have created over the course of the last 2 years in my Economic Development Committee. And so whatever it is that I do afterwards, I hope I have the flexibility to continue that project, continue to work with my friends here in the legislature, all the connections that I've made over the years. So I'll have some, some work yet to do.
Count on us when we can help, and I'm going to give you that virtual big bear hug right now because I could use one from you too. I love you, Ken Horn. God bless you and your family at Christmas.